Welcome to Peace by Believing with John Redmond, Associate Pastor of First Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. If you can, please open your Bible to Jonah chapter 4 as John concludes his message, What Forgiveness Is and What It Isn't.
I want to mention today five negative effects that bitterness has on the human heart, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. But if you're a Christian, I personally think it's even worse because when we're bitter, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and we're negatively affecting our relationship with God. And the first thing I would say is this: bitterness, holding those grudges, it just drains the life out of you. It can make you physically tired and physically weak. Now look at Jonah, what happened in verse number 2. So Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, was not this what I said when I was still in my country, when I was back in Israel? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you're a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah said, God, I knew that if I came here and offered these people a chance to be forgiven, that they would take that and that you would forgive them. And then he says in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah had such bitterness towards these Assyrians. Instead of just forgiving them, as God had forgiven him and given him a second chance, he should have just forgiven them. But instead of that, he's bitter and he's angry. And what is that doing? It is draining the life out of Jonah. And that's what bitterness does. That's why it never pays to hold a grudge, because the only person who loses is you. You're the one that it is sapping your strength and it is sapping your energy. I'll tell you something else bitterness does. Bitterness prevents you from enjoying all the blessings that God has for your life. You know, a person can be happily married, wonderfully employed, great income, good health, great kids. Everything's going for you great. And yet there's this one thing in your life, something has happened that's not right, you don't like it, rubs you the wrong way, you just don't like it. And you can let that one thing prevent you from enjoying all the blessings that God has given to you. I think about Jonah. As far as we know, Jonah had a good family. As far as we know, he was in good health. Certainly, he had a successful ministry. He preached this sermon and the whole town basically gets saved. He had all the reasons in the world to be enjoying all the blessings that God had done for him. But he's not enjoying any of that. All he's doing is focusing on his hatred for this group of people known as the Assyrians. And I'm saying if it could happen to Jonah, it can happen to any of us. And I'll tell you something else bitterness does. Bitterness keeps you from being productive. It does. Here's Jonah, all these new converts. He should have been going around helping them to take their next steps of faith and helping them to learn more about God and helping them to grow. But no, he wasn't doing any of that. He said, God, I'd rather die than live. I don't even want to be here anymore. What was happening? He's not doing what God would want him to do. He was not in any way being productive. In fact, just the opposite. He was being distracted from that. When I was in seminary in the early to mid-1990s, one of the most well-known professors back in that day at Southwestern Seminary was a man named Dr. Bill Toler. Back in the 1980s, Dr. Toler was the interim pastor of our church here. He had been the interim pastor at Prestonwood in Dallas. He preached all over the nation. He's probably the most intelligent man that I've ever met in all my life. He was a true genius. Dr. Toler used to come down here at our church every January, and he would lead a Bible conference. It was really good. On one of those occasions, I had already graduated, was on staff down here, and I was driving Dr. Toler back to the hotel after the Friday night session. And we were talking, and I said, well, how are things going at the seminary? Well, he knew what I was referring to because just a couple of years earlier, the president of our seminary had been fired. Not because he had done anything immoral. It was very much a political thing, and the way they did all that, and you know, it just hurt a lot of people. And so Dr. Toler and I were just kind of talking about that. He said, John, I think things are getting better. In fact, they had made Dr. Toler the interim president after the president got fired. But Dr. Toler and this president had been like the best of friends for decades. He said, you know, John, That's one of the hardest experiences I've ever been through in my life. He called the president's name. He said he and I were just like brothers. And he said, seeing how that all went down, it just broke my heart. And he said, I have to be honest with you. It made me bitter. And I'm thinking, Dr. Toler? I mean, you're like, you know, one step below Billy Graham in my mind. I said, and he said, no, it made me bitter. And he said, it made me very unproductive in my work and in my Bible reading and in my praying and in my preaching and in my teaching. And he said, I learned something about bitterness. He said, here's what I learned, and I never have forgotten this. He said, when you're bitter in your heart towards somebody, it's like driving your car with the emergency brakes on. He said, you just can't really build up very much speed at all. I said, well, how did you deal with that? Same way the pastor dealt with it. Same way Jonah should have dealt with it. He said, I just had to get with God and say, God, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. But I know it's also not right for me to be having these negative feelings. So I just release that to you. I just let that go. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my heart not being right. And God, I just release these people that I'm bitter towards. And he finally got victory over that. But I'm saying to you, it can happen to anybody. But if it doesn't, if you don't get free, it'll keep you from being productive. Not only that, I've noticed this about bitterness. Bitterness causes you to get upset about things that aren't really the problem. If a person is bitter, they're typically flying off the handle. They're at the restaurant and the waiter messes up the order, so they're all over the waiter. Or they're at the hotel and the room's not right and they're all over the person at the hotel. Or they're at the airport and the seat's not right and they're all over the flight attendant. Or they're all over the person behind the counter. And they're just flying off the handle. And it seems to me that more often than not, sudden anger is the result of hidden anger. In other words, the person who just flies off the handle, well, they were already mad before they flew off the handle. And more than likely, what they're flying off the handle about is not even really what they're angry about. We see this with Jonah. Look in verse number 5. So Jonah went out of the... In verse 4, God said to him, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade so he could see what might become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant like a big tree and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. So now circumstances are good. Jonah's happy. I got this shade tree. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a strong east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You see, Jonah had hidden anger. He was mad at the Assyrians. But now, after God makes his shade tree, and the next day a worm bites the tree, the tree withers and dies, the sun is shining down, the wind is blowing, he's hot, he's got no shade, he's getting sunburned, he's mad at the worm, he's mad at the heat, he's mad at the sun, and he says, it is not even right for me to live, God, please, it'd be better if I died than I live. And God said in verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Are you really wanting to die because the plant died? And he said, it is right for me to be angry. Even to death. Jonah's not even rational at this point. What he's saying doesn't even make sense. He's upset over things that are not really the issue. And I want to say today, if you, and we all struggle in and out of this from time to time, but lately, if you have found yourself getting upset over stuff that's really not that big a deal, it could very well be that there's something going on in your heart. There's hidden anger and that's resulting in sudden anger, and you've got to deal with what's hidden. And more often than not, what is hidden is bitterness. And last thing I would say about bitterness is that bitterness stains other people. Let me give you a scripture to write down. I'll read it to you in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now watch this. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled or become contaminated. And so bitterness here is described as a root. It's something that's under the surface. You can't see it, but it springs up. And when it springs up, It hurts others. When you're bitter, you hurt those you love most. Overly touchy, overly sensitive, a short fuse, and it's kind of like you're contaminating them. And so those are some of the negative things that bitterness does. Now, as I said at the beginning, this is going to be the last sermon I preach on bitterness, maybe forever, okay? We may never have another sermon on bitterness, but certainly in this little study, this will be the last one. But the million-dollar question is, because you're sitting there listening to me today, and you may be thinking, well, you know, to be honest with you, I got some of that. I've got some of that going on in me. How do you deal with it? How do you get free from that bitterness? Let me just mention a couple of things here today, maybe three things. Number one, don't follow the example of Jonah. Follow the example of Jesus. Jesus never became bitter. They were mistreating him. They were abusing him. They were crucifying him on the cross. And what is Jesus praying? He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now think about this. If you're saved, you have Jesus in your heart. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so that means when somebody has hurt us in some way, what do? We love them back. We forgive them unconditionally. We follow the example of Jesus. We don't follow the example of Jonah, who never did get over it. As far as we know, Jonah went to his grave having never dealt with the bitterness that was in his heart towards these Assyrians. Back in Jonah chapter 4 in verse 10, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? That is, they're not even old enough to know the difference in right and wrong. And much livestock. And so God says to Jonah, you had more pity on a plant than you do on these people. And so we don't want to follow Jonah's example. We want to follow the example of Jesus. Unconditional love. His love for people has nothing to do with how they treat him. Nothing. His joy had nothing to do with it. They didn't steal his joy. His joy was in his relationship with God. And unconditional love, unending joy. So I encourage you, follow the example of Jesus. Your life will be so much better. I'll say the second thing here. Don't view the person who hurt you as your enemy. View them as a test. It's so easy when we've been hurt to view that other person or that situation or that group of people. We just view them as an enemy. Don't view them as an enemy. View them as a test. It is a test for you to do what? To exhibit unconditional love to them. For you to exhibit the same love to them that God has exhibited to you and that God has exhibited to me. I've told you before, but it just fits this sermon so well. I'm going to tell it again. How not long after our family came to Pasadena in the early 90s, and we were beginning the relocation process and buying all this land. And those were not the easiest days in the church. And one night at the old location, we were having a business meeting, and people were just standing up saying all the reasons the church shouldn't relocate and how terrible of an idea this was and we shouldn't do it. And it was just one of those, just kind of made me nervous. My brother and I were home from college, and we were just kind of listening to all this, and it was just kind of a tense time. This one guy went to a microphone and he stood up and said, I just want everybody here tonight to know that our new pastor is of the devil and he's leading us in the wrong way. Well, my brother and I, sitting in the back of the church, I looked to Joel. I said, who is this guy? He said, I don't know, but we'll take care of him in the parking lot after this service is over. Well, I can tell you this. We did not take care of him in the parking lot, but we beat him up in our hearts. We didn't touch him. We didn't say anything to him, but in our hearts. I went back to Baylor, and every time I came back, Christmas, summertime, I would see that guy from across the sanctuary, maybe in the hall. And when I would see him, I had this bitterness in my heart. He didn't know it. I never said anything to him, but it was still there. And I never will forget God saying to me, not audibly, but in my spirit, John, what that man said about your dad isn't right, but the feelings that you have in your heart aren't right either. And so you've got to deal with those feelings. And I can remember, that may be one of the first times in my life that I ever been through anything like that. And it was like I had to just forgive that man and get that out of my heart and get my heart back right with God. Had nothing to do with that man. That man didn't know that I didn't like him. But I knew it and God knew it. And so don't view the person who hurts you as an enemy. View them as a test. And then the third thing I would say is this. Don't forget that forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. I think sometimes we say, well, I will forgive them as soon as they come to me and ask me to forgive them. Then I'll forgive them. Friend, when you say that, what you're doing, you're giving that other person the keys to your soul, and you're saying, whenever you do what's right, then I'll do what's right. You need to understand this. They may never come and ask you to forgive them. First of all, they may not even know that they hurt you. They may not even know. Because in their mind, they're thinking, why did you get, I didn't even mean anything. Or they may say, no, I know, but I don't even care. But if you say to that person, as soon as you forgive, ask forgiveness, then I'll forgive you. No. Now, if their relationship's going to be right, certainly they have to repent and ask for forgiveness. But I'm saying it's not primarily about your relationship with that person. It's about your relationship with God. And so you say, God, they may never ask me to forgive them. But I can't wait for that anymore. What I've got to do is release them. What I've got to do is let that go and let these feelings go. Doesn't mean I trust them. Doesn't mean the relationship will necessarily ever be what it could be. I wish it could, but it may not. If something doesn't change. But forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. I received a call last week from a friend. He said, John, my wife and I spent some time lately with some extended family, and we had a great trip, he said, on the trip, I've got this one family member. He's always kind of needling me. He's always putting me down and criticizing me, and he's always disrespecting me, really. And he said, it just really rubbed me the wrong way. And my wife and I came back home. Again, it was a great trip, but he said, I was so upset with this family member that it was just really bothering me. He said, the thought of him was just really making me angry. He said, we missed a week or two of church on our vacation, but when we came back to church the first week back, you were preaching this sermon about bitterness and forgiveness. And he said, to be honest with you, I just thought, that's the last thing I want to hear right now, because the way that guy's been treating me is not right. But he said, in the sermon, you made the statement that we should always forgive people because life's too short to be bitter and it's not worth what it does to us. He said, when we walked out of the service that day, I said to my wife, that sermon was for me, because I'm letting this thing make me bitter. And I said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I'll tell you what I did. I got to thinking about all the grace that God has extended to me for my whole life. And he said, I just decided that in my heart, I want to extend that family member the same grace that God has extended to me. And he said, John, I'm just calling you today to say, when I had that mental shift, it's like the weight of the world has been lifted off of me. What was he saying? He wasn't saying that that family member is ever going to change or quit doing, acting that way. But what he was saying is, I've changed in my heart. And now I don't have anything but love for them. In fact, he said, I can't wait to see him later on this year during the holidays, just so that I can look for ways to show grace and show love to him. I thought it was a beautiful thing. Now, today, as we come to the end of this little emphasis we've had on bitterness and grudges and bad feelings, the series does end today, and it needs to end. We need to get on to something else. But I'll say this, it may be the most practical thing that any preacher could preach on to any congregation anywhere, because we're human beings in relationships with others, and sometimes things happen, and we want to make sure that our heart is right with God. Again, we can't always control what the business does or what the other people do, but we can control our heart. Listen, we can be so free of bitterness and grudges and bad feelings in our heart that the relationship with that person in our heart can be just like everything's perfect, even if maybe in reality it's not. In our heart it is. And when we go to the grocery store, we don't duck them or look to go another. No, we see them and we go talk to them and we love them. And there's none of that negative stuff in our heart. You say, well, John, I agree with everything you've said. I am glad you're stopping this. I'm tired of hearing about it, but I agree with everything you've said. But here's what I believe. If we listen to this many sermons on bitterness, and even if we agree with everything I've said, and yet if we still have some of that in our hearts, to me, it would have been a poor stewardship of time to hear all these sermons on bitterness and walk out of this worship center today still bitter. I'm not saying it would have been a waste of time, because God's word never returns void. But I think it would have been a poor steward of time. Today, if you have that, you can release. And again, maybe it's helpful for some today to hear. That doesn't mean that you trust them. Maybe you can't trust them, at least not now. It doesn't necessarily mean that things will be back as they were. That may not always be possible. There are lots of issues. There are safety issues. There's just a lot of moving parts in that. There are other people's desires and wills that may preclude that from happening. But in your heart today, if you make a decision to let it go, you know, the Greek word for forgiveness is aphiemi. Aphiemi. And it literally means to release or to let go. It's a picture of a bird in a cage, trapped. And the owner of the home walks over and opens that cage door, and the bird flies out. The bird has been aphiemied. The bird has been released. The bird has been set free. And when we forgive, many times we discover that we were the bird. We were a captive in our own cage of bitterness, which we have made. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Think about this. If bitterness grieves the Spirit, and it does, then forgiveness and love and no retaliation and no grudges, what does that do? That brings great joy to the Holy Spirit. It opens up the flow of His working in our hearts and through our lives. It brings happiness and joy to us. It makes us where we're traveling light and walking with no burden. And it's possible today, if you will make a decision with God's help to release that offender, and to let that go, and to walk in love, and to walk in forgiveness. Amen? With our heads bowed and eyes closed today, Father, I know this is a sensitive issue because people have been hurt in a lot of different ways, some deep and profound ways. And what happened, Lord, was wrong and in some cases, unthinkable. And yet it happened. And God, now it's on us. How do we respond? How do we deal with that? With your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. And we can leave this room today with a lightness in our spirit, with a spring in our step, with a song in our heart, maybe that we've not had in a long time. Not because we excuse what was done or play like it didn't matter. No, if it hurts you, it matters. But we let it go. We let them off the hook. We choose not to bring it up again. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, first of all, You know what happened. You know what happened. And God, You know how it has hurt me. And yet, God, even though what happened was wrong, how I'm dealing with it is not right. So I ask You to forgive me for anger, for hatred, for vengeance, for disgust, for holding a grudge. Forgive me for that. That's my part in this. Forgive me. And God, as I gratefully receive Your forgiveness, I ask You to forgive them. Very much like You prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm asking You to forgive them. And God, today, as best as I know how, I choose to let it go so that I can be free of this burden and that I can have love in my heart. And I open the cage door. And as I let my offender go free, I'm following them right out of this cage. Fill my heart with love and with forgiveness. Help me to see it as a test. And help me to pass that test.
As we continue in that spirit of prayer, would you like to experience the forgiveness of the Lord in your life? If so, won't you pray with me now? Just say, Dear Jesus, I believe that You love me and that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. Right now, I ask You to come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. I ask You to save me, and I trust You to do it. In Your name I pray, amen. For those of you who have just prayed to receive Christ as your Savior today, please let us know by sending an email to info@peacebybelieving.org or by giving us a call at 1-800-337-0157. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you being with us on the next Peace by Believing with John Redmond.